Well, good morning. In case you were wondering, third through third grade can go to the children's. Just kidding. You know, that's the first mistake I've ever made. It's all right. You are a people filled with grace, so I'm loving that. Well, welcome to our church this morning, where we hope that you feel the love of Christ in this place. If you are our guest this morning, we are especially glad that you're here. There's a seat, a card in the seat pocket in front of you that you can register your attendance with us. And if you'd like to be added to our email list, you can put that your email address down there, and we will get you added to our email list. We communicate through a lot through email, and we've got a Wiley Methodist app that you can download that's free. At the end of the service, if you're our guest, I'd love to meet you. I'll be down at the end of the foyer and have a free gift for our guests, and we'd love to get to know you a little bit better. And we'd like to meet you out there. Luke, turn with me to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. This is Luke's account of what has come to be known as the Last Supper. Jesus' time on earth is closing fast. Beginning in verse 14, Luke 22, 14. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." There it is again, Jesus anticipating, knowing that suffering was to come. "For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you that I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And then he took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we have invited you. We trust that you are here. You are faithful to your word, and your word says, where two or three are gathered in your name, you will be there also. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak in power and authority and change our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been on this journey, this 40 days of praise. Many of you have been coming along with that, and this week is the final week. I forget, I think it ends, is it Thursday, maybe? Anybody know? Amen. Is this on, Arliss? Is this on? Anyway, it ends this week, 40 days of praise, and we have been going through a sermon series called Hallelujah Living. Hallelujah Living. Today's message is Remember His Great Love. Now, we've talked for each one of these sermons has been more about what we are to do in praising Him, that we are a people chosen by God. We are a people that presents to Him the sacrifice of praise. What does praise look like? So we've looked at those things. But today, I want to shift the gears to why do we praise? Why do we praise? And I'm going to jump right in to the message. The first thing, why do we praise? God has great love for you. God has great love for you. Now, I've asked permission. How many of you, most of you know our friend Lee Butler. Lee, if we can see your hand, raise your hand. Lee's back in the back. He's the little arm that's sticking up back there. That does our overheads for us. I asked Lee if I could share this story. He told some of this story to the men's group, the men's encounter night here a few weeks ago. How old is Sid Lee?
Almost 14.
All right. 14 years ago, roughly, Lee and I, we ventured to Fort Smith, Oklahoma. It's about a 7-hour drive to get a silly dog. All you got to do is walk out in the backyard and pick up a stray somewhere and you got a dog. But no, we drove 7 hours because he wanted this particular dog, this particular breed. That's another story. So we go and we see this little puppy and we secure the puppy and we're on our way home and we've been driving for a little while and two guys in a pickup truck and it started to not smell all that great in the pickup truck. I'm just saying, okay, y'all can kind of gather where I'm going here with this. And so I'm looking at Lee and Lee's looking at me. And after a while, one of us says, "Did you do that?" And the other one says, "I didn't do it. Did you do it?" Well, this little puppy, I guess, he had a nervous stomach, I guess. And this little puppy is, you know, relieving himself, and it is not good. It is not good. So Lee ends up naming this dog Sid, which the longer, I'm not going to give the full name. You'll have to ask him the full name. But the first part of that is Rancid. And there's more to it, but you can talk to him about later about that. But Rancid, and he shortened it to Sid. So Sid's a good dog, and Sid has been with Lee, like he said, around 14 years. He's coming to the end of his life. Sid has gotten where he doesn't really have good use of his hind legs and everything that's kind of attached back there. And Sid, I mean, Lee has some mobility issues himself. Y'all know that. And he gets up two or three times a night, and Sid has not made it to the door to go outside. And this is every night's routine. It has been going on for some time. And Lee gets up, and because he normally uses a walker, but at night, with it being dark, he doesn't want to fall, so he gets in his wheelchair, and he bends down, and he picks Sid up and puts him in his lap. He takes him to the door. He lets him outside to do his business, and he also cleans up the mess that Sid has made. Why in the world would he do that? Why would he keep doing that for Sid? Because he loves him. He loves him. You know, we get attached to these dogs, don't we, these animals? We get attached to them. And Lee made the point with the men's group, and he was telling me this before the men's group, and I said, "Man, dude, that's it. That's it. Isn't that like God's love for us? He's constantly cleaning up our messes, isn't he? And why does he do it? Why does he put up with us? Because he loves us. He loves us. The Bible tells us, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. He loves us. No matter how many times he has to clean up our messes, he loves us. God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So I've said this many times, but I wanted to really come home this morning that he doesn't love us because we're awesome, because we do all these wonderful things. It said, no, he died for us while we were in this condition of sin, while we were this broken vessel offering nothing to him. While we were still sinners. It didn't say, Jesus doesn't say, go clean yourself up, go get your act together and come back and see me and we'll talk. No, it says, while we were still sinners, he died for us. God has great love for you, and that's where praise starts. Your understanding of that. That's where praise begins. And I said it last week, if we don't know how much God loves us, then we can't truly praise him. God has great love for you. Secondly, he proved it by becoming our Passover lamb. Now, I love that story. What amazes me about this story, well, let me read just a little bit. This is the original Passover. Charlton Heston was there, and all that. We know that. But it's in Exodus 12. He really wasn't there if you hadn't figured that out. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter a one-year-old lamb without defect. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides of the and the tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals. I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. Listen to this. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, God says, I will pass over you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. Now God went on to tell Moses to instruct the people that once a year, this same time of the year, you do this again. You sacrifice this male lamb, this one-year-old male lamb without blemish. You sacrifice them, and they began to call that the Passover. Passover meal, the Passover feast, and for approximately 1,400 years, I want your mind to just wrap a hold of that for a second, 1,400 years or so, the Jews had been doing this Passover meal every year. And we know that there were shepherds that actually separate, they would identify these lambs, and they would breed them, and they would make sure that they were perfect, and they would set them aside, they would put them aside, and there's this big event to go and select these lambs and to sacrifice these lambs. And here's what happened. 1,400 years of this practice is going on. And suddenly, in John chapter 1, we read this. The next day, John, speaking of John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and said this, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Amen. For 1,400 years or so, the Jews had been selecting this lamb and remembering this Passover meal where God had mercy on the nation of Israel, and death passed over their houses when he saw the blood. And John now identifies Jesus and says, look, it's the Lamb of God. It's God's Lamb. And then this passage we just read today out of Luke 22 says, Jesus says, the hour has come. I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover meal with you before I suffer. I want us to hear the intentionality, the deliberateness of this moment. Do you see a pattern here? 1,400 years, and I don't think it's a coincidence that he's having this meal on the Passover and this crucifixion is happening that Passover weekend. I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. He knew it was coming. Why would he do that? Why does Lee get up in the middle of the night and clean up behind Sid? Because God loves us. That's why he did it. And thirdly, not only has God have great love for you and has proved it by becoming our Passover lamb, but his sacrificial love that he's demonstrated deserves our praise. Like I said, if we don't understand how much God loves us, what is there to praise? If we miss that piece of it, Christianity becomes a religion. It becomes a set of doctrines that we follow and laws that we follow and practices that we follow. But I'm just telling you, that's not what being a Christian is at all. It's our response to this God who very intentionally came and gave his life for us. Now, look at I'm going to read a couple of, I think they're in your handout there. His sacrificial love deserves our praise. And this is after Jesus has gone to the cross and after he's resurrected. So the Matthew 28. So the women hurried away from the tomb. They had just seen Jesus, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Who do we worship? We worship God. Who is their worship saying that Jesus is? God. And then a few verses later, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him. They understood what Jesus had done for them. They understood who he was and is, and they worshiped him. I got to tell you, sometimes, you know, I talked about it last week, that sacrifice of praise that we are to give God. Sometimes it's not easy. I've got a call from Peggy Young's daughter. I'm losing track too. Let's see, what that would have been Friday night, and told me what had happened. Told me that Rodney, Peggy's son, had been in this wreck. And I go to see Peggy in the hospital, and you know, Peggy just lost Gerald a few months ago after a long battle with cancer. She's been battling cancer. I mean, this family's been through it. And I'm telling you, I mean, it just, I even though she was in the midst of grief and worry, man, Peggy, she's just steadfast. She's just steadfast, praising God in the midst of the trial. I mean, and as of this moment, I got a text this morning from Peggy and said that Rodney was still had no feeling in his legs and his feet and his toes, and it did not. They don't believe that it severed the spinal cord, so there's still a possibility that some things will come back. But at this moment, it's not looking good. It's bleak. And Peggy, in her text, still praising God, thanking God for who he is. They clasped his feet and worshiped him. And Jesus is real, he's real straight with us. In this world, you're going to have trouble. I mean, he never promises, hey, come follow me and life's going to be easy. He never promises that. But he says, but I'm bigger than the world. I've overcome the world. That there's something, if you trust me, all these other things, all these circumstances, we'll walk through it together. And that, church, is worthy of our praise. That is worthy of our praise. And what this meal that we will have the opportunity to partake of in just a moment, this scripture we read today, I want to read it again. Jesus took the bread, and he gave thanks. That never really stood out to me until I was planning for this message. He's telling them what this meal is going to symbolize, his broken body and his spilled blood, and he begins it with giving thanks. Isn't that something? He took the bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, given for you." This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he took the cup and he said, "The cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." There it is again. He's telling us this meal exists because I've done it for you. There's a song that I love. This song, it's been around for a little while, but our very own Ken Keefe and Terry Wright actually sang this song. We've got it recorded, and I want you to just, if you would, if you're not too uncomfortable with it, just kind of close your eyes and listen to the words of this song, and just remember that God did it for us. And because he loves us. So go ahead and play that if you would, Lee. As we remember his great love, I ran across this slide this week, and I want to go ahead and throw that up there, Lee. The Lord, if you can't read that, the Lord did not check to see who inside the house was worthy. He checked for blood on the doorpost. You know, I'd never really thought of it in exactly that way, that as death passed over the homes, there was no evaluation of the residents of the home. You ever think of that? That was kind of a new revelation to me. There was no evaluation of the people in the home. There was just looking for the blood. how much more are we covered by the blood of Christ? Body of Christ broken for us. Remember His great love. And the blood of Christ poured out for us. Remember His great love. This meal is for people who've placed their faith in Christ. It's not for perfect people, it's for redeemed people. Redeemed by the body and blood of Christ. So this meal begins with a heart of repentance. So I ask you now to just in your own heart, just to bow your heads in your own heart, confess your own sin before our holy God. Father, we thank you for this bread and this cup. May they be for us the body and blood of Jesus. We pray blessings on this table, on this meal, on these elements. We thank you that you have seen fit to sacrificially give yourself for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, church, you are forgiven. Amen.